I absolutely love coming together with God's people to worship and to open the Bible and to hear from God. I hope that it does for you what it does for me. Wednesday night, we're in Colossians 3, by the way. Wednesday night, as you know, I had a little illness last week, round two. Did fine, not a big deal. But when I figured out I couldn't come to church Wednesday night, I was a little depressed. It bothered me. Not in a good way. And I guess it's good that I was bothered, right? But as we were singing and worshiping tonight, I was just reminded, and I couldn't help but say, thank you, Lord, for God's people and for the privilege of gathering like this to worship and to open the Word of God and to hear from God. Colossians chapter 3, we're continuing our study about desiring God. And this morning, we dealt with half this. This evening, we're going to deal with the other half. All right? We're going to read from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. When you arrive there, and as usual, keep your Bibles open, okay? Because we're going to use them. We're going to refer to this scripture as well as to a number of others. And the reason, of course, being, as I've said before, I don't want you to read some words on the wall. I want you to hear from God. From the Word of God. So would you stand with me? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, I love that phrase, but now, I'm not that anymore, but now, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we approach your throne of grace once again with thanksgiving. Father, your word is good. We thank you for giving us your word. And I pray that you will take your word now and speak to us, Lord, through your word. Lord, convict us of our sins. Draw us to you, that, Lord, we may be a people who desire God, who walk with God daily, and who bring honor and glory to you, O God. Father, I commend this service to you. This is your service. It's not about me. It's not about any one individual. It's about you. So therefore, Lord, I pray that you be glorified and that your will be done in the life of every individual present here tonight, as well as those who are viewing online. Lord, we love you and we praise you most of all for your precious Son, Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we talked about putting some things to death, and those things that we were to put to death or build boundaries, draw lines which are not movable, not compromising, but we were to put those things to death that were listed in verse 5. So we're not going to go back and redo that. Tonight, we're going to take a hard look at verse 8. And if I do want you to notice in verse 5, it said, therefore put to death your members. But in verse 8, it says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. Right? completely different line of thought. As I said this morning, the put to death part are lines that we draw, boundaries that we build, that we do not compromise on these boundaries, right? But tonight, when he says put off these things, that word, that phrase, put off it, it means like you would take off a coat or a jacket or lay aside a shirt, right? And the reason that he didn't say that you are to put these things to death, I believe, is very intentional in that these are things that pop up. This morning, we built boundaries. Tonight, we have to apply the filter within our boundaries because things still get in there that disrupt our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so here we look at three things tonight that we've got to filter that can penetrate the boundaries that we build. And we start, number one, with emotions, right? And specifically, the emotion of anger. Verse 8, but now you yourself are to put off all these. Number one, anger. Now understand, when we use this word anger, we're talking about a chronic attitude of smoldering hatred, right? Not just an irritation. We all become irritated from time to time, right? I mean, I know you can't believe this, but Beth every once in a while gets irritated at me. It happens, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about pure smoldering anger. I'm upset. I don't care who knows it. I am just mad, right? And so, this kind of emotion, when you see that person that's filled with this chronic attitude of smoldering hatred, I mean, you immediately know it's written all over their face. And it's constantly on their minds. And when interacting with them, I mean, it's obvious. They are not a happy person. And let's stop right here for just a moment. Because I said all of us become irritated. But I want to remind you that there are times when all of us become angry. I mean, things just do not go the way that we think they should go. People, somebody says something, somebody does something, and we know they're wrong. And it's not a matter of are you going to be angry. It's a matter of when you get angry. And when you do, what will you do with it, right? And so, look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. We're going to talk about how to handle this kind of anger, right? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Are you ready? Here we go. Ephesians 4, 26 tells you how to deal with this anger. Be angry. It's not a sin to be angry. Be angry and do not sin. Now that's a big command. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And that's where I want to focus you for just a minute. Like I said, we're all going to come to that point where we've had all we can take, or you know, we're just angry. But what are we going to do with it? You better deal with it. That phrase, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, simply means don't carry it with you. Day in and day out. Have you ever seen somebody that was mad today? And you met them tomorrow and they're still mad? The day after that, they're still mad? The day after that, they're still mad? That's what this is talking about. And I want to tell you, this doesn't only apply in church relationships. This applies in marriage or any relationship. The longer you carry this anger, the more destructive it will be to your spiritual life. Have you ever tried to pray when you're angry? Can't do it. I mean, all you can think about is what that person did to you. All you can think about is how mad you are at that person. It ruins your prayer life. It destroys that spiritual part of you. Not only does it ruin your prayers, it ruins your quiet time. You know, last Sunday night we talked about that need for just get alone with God and enjoy fellowship and enjoy His presence. Have you ever tried that when you're angry? When you're smoldering about something? It doesn't work. You can shut the world out and you'll sit down and I promise you this, all you'll think about is what you're mad about, right? So what do you do? How do you deal with it? Well, it's very simple, actually. Take it to Jesus and leave it there. Say it again. Take it to Jesus and leave it there. Now, this is where I've been approached from time to time. Say, Brother Doug, you don't understand. I can't just leave it with Jesus. Yes, you can. Remember we talked about mind control this morning, right? Setting your mind. The fact is, we need to get over ourselves thinking we deserve better, thinking that we don't have to put up with that or we don't have to take it. We need to get over that and lay it at the feet of Jesus. You know, when it's happened to me, I'll tell you, I've brought these things before, or I've come into the presence of Jesus and that's all I can think about. You know what that indicates to me? I need to talk to Jesus about it. I need to tell Jesus why I'm upset. I need to tell Jesus why I'm hurt. I need to sincerely lay it all out before the throne. And then you know what Jesus does, almost without exception? Jesus reminds me of how I failed. And I say, but Lord, you don't understand what they did to me. And then Jesus reminds me, you don't know what they did to me when they hung me on the cross. But Lord, I didn't deserve that. Jesus says, no, I didn't deserve it either. And I'm reminded of the grace that's present in Jesus Christ. And it reminds me, if Jesus has that kind of grace, I'm supposed to be like Jesus. And so I can lay it at the feet of Jesus and leave it there. Oh, now I'm not going to say 2 or 3 days, you know, that thought won't blow through again. And when it does blow through, take it back to Jesus. Don't let it destroy you spiritually. Okay? Because you're the one that suffers, not the person you're angry at. You're the one that suffers. And your relationship with Jesus Christ is not worth something like anger. Right? Okay? That's the first thing we've got to put off. Put off our anger. Right? Like taking off a coat. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't carry it with you. Second thing we got to deal with is our actions. Not only emotions, but our actions. It says, and we're to put off wrath. Now you have to stop and you have to consider what wrath is. Right? Wrath is an acute outburst of that smoldering anger that we just talked about. Right? And it's a result of unresolved anger. Listen, you can only boil so long before you boil over. Right? So if you don't take care of it, you just take it to heart that something's going to explode sooner or later. And when it explodes, it's not pretty. That's the wrath. Okay? That's the wrath we're talking about. Have you seen people walk out of a business meeting? Why'd they walk out? Because they exploded. Church did something they didn't like, so they exploded. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm going to speak my mind? When somebody says, I'm going to speak my mind, what I want to do is I want to close my ears. Because I don't want to hear it. You know? Because I know. I know what's coming. It's not going to be constructive. It's not going to be helpful. It's not going to do anyone any good. Have you ever heard somebody tell someone off? You see, you've got to consider the damage that you do. Right? And even though you feel like speaking your mind, it's best to remain quiet. Even though you would like to tell them how the cow ate the cabbage, it's best to be quiet. Because, here's what you've got to know. James chapter 1 verse 20. right? See, I don't want you to think the preacher's just making this stuff up, right? And we're looking to see what God says about it. James chapter 1, verse 20. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Don't let that sink in. If I ever act out of wrath, out of anger boiling over, there is no possibility that it will produce the righteousness of God. And I don't care if that's in a church, if that's in a marriage, if that's in your workplace, wherever it is, you understand if I boil over, that will never produce the righteousness of God. So what that is saying, what that's telling us is, your wrath is never, I'll say it again, your wrath is never okay. Never. You know, I've told people before, I don't have the luxury of losing my temper. I have done it a time or two, but I don't have that luxury. Because I do too much damage when I do. And the thing is, I damage the spiritual well-being of a brother or a sister. You know, the world is filled with people who were hurt in a church. With people who somebody said something that shouldn't have been said and they left and they said, I'll never go back to church again. And they're wrong. Yes, they're wrong. However, I don't want to be the individual responsible for that one who says, I'll never go back to church because I hurt him or hurt her. Got to consider the damage that we'll do. Okay? Also, our actions. We're to deal with the emotions, anger, our actions, wrath, and our actions, malice. Now that's a tough word. It means a desire to inflict harm. A desire for some, you know, my desire for somebody else's life to go bad. I put it this way, it's getting even. Have you ever thought, I'll get you. I'll get even. I'll get that. And we say that jokingly sometimes, but I'm not talking about joking. I'm talking about having a desire to see somebody harmed in some way. That's what malice is, right? Here's what you got to know about malice. See what God says, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Look over there with me. Again, I don't want you to think this is coming from Brother Doug. This is coming from the Word of God, right? Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Okay? Now, we know the basic concept there, but I want you to understand what that really means. When it says, do not avenge yourself, means just what it says. It's not your place to get even. But here's what I want you to get. But rather, give place to wrath. How do you give place to wrath? To wrath. Right? Here's what it's talking about. Do not avenge yourself, but give an opportunity for the wrath. Okay? Give an opportunity for the wrath. You want to know what the wrath is? It's not yours. It's the wrath of God. Okay? Give God a chance to take care of it is the bottom line. Yeah? Do you believe that God will do what He says? We can do better than that. Do you believe that God will do what He says? Has God ever lied? Absolutely not. Right? He's going to do exactly what He said. So, you have to, as a child of God, have the understanding that when you're wronged by anyone, whether it's in church or out of church, that when you're wronged, God will take care of it. Why? Because that's what it says. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. It is that I might. I will. You got to trust God. You know? It's actually very freeing when you come to that point that you know, hey, I don't have to get somebody back. I don't have to get even because God knows what's going on and He's promised in His Word that He will repay. But actually, if I repay, you know what I do? I do not give God the opportunity to repay. I take the place of God. How sad it is when we live to get even. I mean, it destroys, again, our spiritual life. We can't pray. We can't have the quiet time. We can't even look into the Word of God and let the Word of God change us because we're so filled with bitterness. You start to understand why Paul's writing this stuff. You know, we're talking about desiring God and having that closer relationship with God. And I don't know about you, but tonight, it's even more real than it was this morning. Because these are things that all of us have dealt with and will have to deal with from time to time. Okay? We've got to filter our emotions. Can't let anger run crazy. We've got to filter our actions. We can't have the wrath, the outburst, the malice, the getting even. And we've got to filter our speech. If you'll notice once again, back in the text, verse 8, it says we're to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language. Now, blasphemy, of course, is slander, or speaking evil. And once again, that also comes from unresolved anger. You know? What's our favorite thing to do to people that we're mad at? Run and tell somebody else what they did to us so that everybody will know what a terrible person they are. You know what you're doing? You're blaspheming them. You're slandering them. Oh, but Brother Doug, everything I said was true. It's not your place. It's not your place. It's God's place. And you know what's really funny is I found if there's someone that I'm a little bit irritated at, their name will come up in conversation in the next few days. I will have the golden opportunity to say, yeah, he's a good boy, but it never fails. It never fails. And I have to decide, okay, Lord, what am I going to say? I'll give you this. If you ever say, well, I shouldn't say anything, but you shouldn't have said anything. Right? If you say, I know we all have faults, but you should have kept quiet. He's a great guy, but you ever throw that little three-letter word in there, you should have been silent from the beginning. See, the sad thing about it reveals our heart. And there we have two commandments. The greatest commandments. Commandment number one. What? We have more than two, but the two greatest commandments. Commandment number one is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. I can't love Ken and talk about him badly. I can't love Michael and talk badly about him. I can't love and blaspheme and slander the name of a fellow church member. And here's the really part that we don't think. Before I speak, I have to understand that what I say could permanently damage the reputation of the brother I'm talking about. I might hinder his ministry. And I never want to be guilty of that. That's why I don't spend a lot of time talking about other preachers. You know, I've had people come to me time to time about preachers. And you know, and boy, I'll just be honest with you. I don't want to talk about other preachers. Okay? Because I know there are some calls that I've made through the years that weren't good calls. There are mistakes that I've made through the years that I wish I hadn't made. And I certainly don't want to slander a brother because he's made errors, in my view anyway, right? We got to filter our speech. You've heard the old saying, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything. You make sure if you're talking about a brother in Christ, you say nothing but good. Second thing, you've got to filter. Filthy language. Filthy language is just what it says. Filthy language. Obscene talk. Please listen to me, everyone. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. Filthy language is not okay. Oh, Brother Doug, it's just a word. No, it's not just a word. It's filthy language. Right? And so, you know, and I'm not talking about that. I hit my thumb with a hammer on accident and something. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your general daily conversation. You make sure whatever comes out of your mouth reflects who you belong to. Right? And you can say all day long, well, it really doesn't matter that I talk this way because it's just words, but it does matter. Look at Matthew 12:34. If you've got a language problem, if you have a language problem, this comes from the Word of God, you have a heart problem. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Jesus is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, right? He says in verse 34, "Broad of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart," what? "The mouth speaks." You know somebody that uses filthy language? All that's coming out is what's in the heart. All these things, I think, you know, this morning and tonight, all these things are things that damage our relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? People don't understand, you know, why is God distant? It's because we have these things in our life. But there's a better way. Back to the book of Colossians. See, what we have to realize is we don't have to be like the world. We don't even want to be like the world. Look at verse 10. "And having put on the new man." If you are a child of God, this is supposed to be you. "Having put on the new man." What's this new man? A new creation in Christ. "If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If you are a child of God, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And because you're a new creation, you have been made a new man who is, verse 10, "is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created Him." You've been renewed. You know a better way. You see, I don't have to get even. I don't have to be angry. I don't have to have outbursts. Why? Because I know a better way. That better way is Jesus. And not only do I know a better way, I want the better way. How about you? Here's the bottom line, right? This was the verse I was going to use as the text tonight, but it just... Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew 6. Let me get over there now. Matthew 6, 33. There you are. If you want to know how to filter this stuff, this is it. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now this conversation went beforehand. It was about Jesus talking about not laying up treasures on earth and worrying about what you'll wear and worrying about what you'll eat and all that stuff. And then he brought it down into this nice little package there in verse 33. It all comes down to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Before you get angry and lose your cool, seek first the righteousness of God. Before you say something you shouldn't say, stop and seek first the righteousness of God. Before you do something you know you shouldn't do, stop and ask yourself, how will it bring glory to God? Seek first the kingdom of God. You see, we look at that and that passage of seek first the kingdom of God. We say, well, that means you're supposed to come to church every time, and every time the doors are open, and you're supposed to tithe, and you have all this. No, it just simply means live, put Jesus first in your life. Period. Pretty easy. Before I say it, I put Jesus first. Before I do it, put Jesus first. You want to have that relationship that we're talking about last Sunday and this Sunday? Seek Jesus first. Pretty simple. It's not rocket science, is it? It's just pretty simple. And the bottom line is, again, this is the new knowledge we have. I'll leave you with this thought. Jesus works. Jesus' way works. Right? That's why He gives us this wonderful book of instruction. So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It works. There's joy there. There's peace there. There's life there. As a child of God, let us desire God first in everything. Now you may be here tonight and the Lord's dealing with you on a matter, and whatever that matter is, I want to challenge you. Seek first the kingdom. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I'll do it. If you need to be saved, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I'm going to invite you to come. If you need to be baptized, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I'm going to invite you to come. If you need to come for church membership, if you need to come for rededication, if you just need to come to spend time at the altar, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come tonight to seek You. This is Your invitation. This is Your service. Each individual here is Yours. I just pray Your will be done. Father, help us to seek You first in all that we do. That before we act, that we just stop and think, what is Your righteousness? Before we speak, Lord, may we stop and think, what are the words You would have us to say? Certainly before we let our emotions get out of control, let us stop and ask how You'd have us to feel. Lord, we love You and we pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.